He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Julia. Yes, welcome once again, everyone. My name is Samuel. Okay, I've got a Bible here, so pop mine on the floor. Yeah, my name is Samuel, and by way of introduction, I'm a supply pastor at King's Church, London, and that's in Southeast London, and yeah, Catford site. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 91 today, and I'm going to be talking on Psalm 91. And I have titled my talk, Why God is the Only Refuge That You Can Trust. Why God is the Only Refuge You Can Trust. My favorite time of the year here in London is the summer season. And the reason I love the summer season is because it's that time of the year when everyone is joyful. It's happy. Everyone is happy. You get greeted, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm like, gosh, people are greeted in London. It's so exciting. And one of the things I love to do during the summer is I love to go to the parks. Because when you get to the parks, there's always this joyful scene, isn't it? There's this joyful scene of people singing, people laughing, chatting, and it's always a pleasure. So there was this one time last year I went to the parks during the summer, and I went with my friends, and on reaching the park, there was this joyful scene of everyone, some people with the guitar singing and playing. And there was this little boy playing with a dog. And he's playing with the dog, and 1 minute the dog is very happy, they're of a good cheer. And the next minute the dog begins to bark at the boy. And the boy gets agitated, he runs towards his mom, and the mom runs towards him. And it's almost like this picture of joy almost begins to turn to a picture of trouble, until the mom comes to his rescue. But the boy knew that he could trust the safety of his mom, as little as he was. And today I'm going to ask, what about you? Who do you go to? Who do you run to? Or who do you trust in time of trouble? When the job you once loved has become very complicated or difficult because of a new change, or when the doctor can't guarantee that a surgery would work, when the feeling of grief of a loved one begins to overwhelm you, or when life's trouble chases after you like that angry dog and threatens to steal your joy and peace, who do you run to? The psalm today shows us that God is a refuge that we can trust, we can run to. And the reason being that his refuge is guaranteed, and second, his refuge is complete. And we're going to be looking at how the psalm points to those narratives, those points from Psalm 91. God's refuge is guaranteed. The psalm shows us that God's refuge is guaranteed by his greatness and his promise. He can always rescue. God's refuge is guaranteed by his greatness. And we see this in verse 1 and verse 11 and 12. Verse 1, he says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Verse 11, it says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Verse 1, he is the Almighty. Verse 11, who has angels under his command. And verse 12, the angels actually obey him. You see the picture the psalm is painting. He's pointing to the sovereignty of God. It's one thing to have authority, but it's another thing for people to actually obey you. So I'm a tech manager full-time, part-time, I'm a supply pastor. But when I'm in the office, so one of the things that my colleagues do is they do like a mimic of me. So when I step out of my office, they try to pretend to be Sam. So they will do stuff like, "Hey, what have you been doing since morning?" And when I walk in, sometimes I walk in on them pretending to be me. But what's funny is that that's just a pretense. They are pretending to be me. And nobody actually does anything. They laugh about it. But here, the psalm is saying that God has authority. He is the Almighty who has angels under his command, verse 11. And the angels actually obey him. So the psalmist is pointing to the fact that everything is under God's command. He is, as you would say, the commander-in-chief of angels. The other imagery the psalmist uses in verse 1 is the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty. You know, during the summer, you have the shadow cast of objects which you can go to, you can lean on to sort of shield you from the sun, the scorching sun. And the psalmist uses that imagery to describe God's refuge. So just as the shadow of that object can provide protection from the heat of sun, he says the shadow of the Almighty can provide protection from trouble. But we know that the shadow of objects can be limited. Sometimes it's too small, sometimes the shadow shifts. But the psalm shows that God's refuge is not like that. It's not like shifting shadows. It's the shadow of the Almighty. It's the shadow of a great God. So his refuge is very much guaranteed to cover you. His refuge is guaranteed by his promise, by his greatness. But it's also guaranteed by his promise. His refuge is guaranteed by his promise in the sense that he will always rescue. So he can rescue and he will rescue. See how much he says he will in verse 14 to 16. He says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him, I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." His refuge is guaranteed because he says, "I will." He has promised that he will. But I'm sure we all have experience of people in authority and their promises. They're often empty promises, isn't it? I had a print of a conversation between two MPs. An MP once said to an MP, "All your party is known for are empty promises." To which this MP responded, "At least the word promises is found in our dictionary." So that's what we think of when we think of promises by people in authority. It's often untrustworthy. We don't see them following through in their promises. But God's promise is not like that. It's not so with God. In verse 4, the psalmist makes that clear. At the end of verse 4, he says, "His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." The essence of his refuge is based on his faithfulness. This shows that God is faithful to keeping his promise. He's faithful to keeping his word. So he doesn't just make empty promises. We can trust that he will keep his word. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. His refuge is guaranteed by his greatness. He can. And it's guaranteed by his promise. He will. So his refuge is guaranteed. But not just that. The psalm also points to the fact that God's refuge is complete. It's complete both through this present life and into the next life. Through this life, God saves us from all sorts of trouble. The psalm shows us that. So in verse 3 we see, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." Snare are like traps, things that entrap us, like bad habits. Things we think, oh, I wish I could stop doing that. And the psalm says he would deliver you from the snare. And he says from deadly pestilence. It's like an epidemic. It's like sickness. Things beyond our choice or control. God has the capacity to deliver you from deadly pestilence. We are rescued both from the fowler's snare and deadly pestilence. But verse 5 to 6, we'll see another thing God rescues us from. He rescues us from the gripping fear of these things. He says, verse 5, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." He doesn't just rescue us from these troubles. He rescues us from the gripping fear that these troubles raise in our hearts. He rescues us from fear. And the assurance we see there is both at night and at day. Every time he rescues us. But the psalm continues. It's beyond the troubles we see. God doesn't just rescue us from troubles. He rescues us from the cause of those troubles. And we see this in verse 13. "You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you would trample underfoot." Now, the scripture often describes Satan with the imagery of a deceptive serpent or a roaring lion. And the psalmist takes that picture and places it under your feet. He says, "You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you would trample underfoot." God rescues you, not just from the snares of the fowler, but from the fowler himself. He doesn't just rescue you from troubles. He rescues you ultimately from the cause of those troubles. This means that the trouble that we face in this life, for those who have put their trust in this steadfast refuge, the troubles we face are temporary. We will outlive those troubles. Because the person who causes those troubles is bound under our feet. He's bound. His end is under his future, and his beginning and his future is under our feet. It reminded me when I was prepping this talk, and I got to this bit. It reminded me of something that happened when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, I was playing with my elder sister. I have an elder sister, and I was bit by an ant because. Yeah, we're playing in the sun and I was bit by an ant and I began to cry. And my elder sister took the ant and she put it inside a bottle like this and then she cocked it really tight. I know, things siblings do for each other, right? And then while I was crying, she said to me, "Why are you still crying? The ant is in the bottle." And I'm like, "But the pain still hurts." She said, "But look, the ant is in the bottle." So eventually the pain is going to stop. But eventually, look at the future of the ant. It's under your feet. It's in the bottle. Like, when the air in this bottle, when the oxygen in this bottle runs out, you know what the end of the ant is going to be. But your pain is short-lived. That's the picture that the psalm is giving here. He's saying, the fowler, you're not just rescued from the pain, from the trouble caused by the fowler. The fowler is under your feet. If you've put your trust in God. And that's a huge assurance. But we still feel those troubles. We still feel the pain of those troubles in this life. And that's a reminder to us that God's protection does not mean immunity from trouble, because that can be a deception of the enemy. Remember, the psalmist refers to him as a serpent, the deceptive serpent. It doesn't mean immunity from trouble in this life. But the psalm shows us what his refuge looks like. Sometimes it looks like deliverance. Verse 3, he will deliver you from the snare. Sometimes it looks like protection. Verse 4, he will cover you. He'll protect you, verse 11 says. But always it looks like his presence. Verse 15, it says, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. In trouble, God's refuge looks like his presence. He will always be with you in trouble. But I love verse 13. It always looks like victory. The fowler is under your feet. It's under your feet. This is almost the testimony of a psalmist to the people of Israel who will be going through years, hundreds of years later, going through times of suffering, times of season in the captivity of Babylon. This is such an encouragement that God's refuge is complete in this life. God doesn't just deal with troubles, he deals with the cause of the trouble. But his refuge is also complete in the next life. God doesn't just rescue us from troubles in this life. He assures us of a trouble-free, satisfying life. How about that? I don't think there's any insurance company that can assure you of that. A trouble-free life. Yeah. A trouble-free life in the next life. And how does the psalmist paint this picture? Verse 7 to 8. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. And then he continues 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will be allowed to come near your tent. A 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the reward of the wicked, the recompense of the wicked. This is speaking of God's judgment, the recompense of the wicked. Scripture often uses reward of the wicked for God's judgment. And the scripture often uses the word wicked for those who reject God. And as much as there's a future for those who put their trust in God, scripture repetitively shows that there is a future for those who reject God. And the psalm uses one word to describe those who reject God. He says, wicked. But he doesn't stop there. He says there is actually a reward for them. He says they will fall. And then he says, but it will not come near you. Verse 10, it will not be allowed to come near your tent. Those who put their trust in God in the next life are shielded, they are protected from the judgment that awaits the wicked, from God's judgment. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 16 points to the satisfying life, the reward of those who put their trust in God. It says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So as much as in this present life we go through the troubles of life, the psalm is saying that there is a life where what you live is trouble-free. What you see is trouble-free. What you experience is trouble-free. There is a life where there will be an end to the snare of the fowler. There is a life where there will be an end to fear. There will be a life where there will be an end to deadly pestilence. And that is the next life. With long life, I will satisfy you. That is God's promise. A life completely free of death, free of fear, free of snares, free of all sorts of trouble. And that's the message of the psalm. God is able to sustain you into the next life. He's able to rescue you and keep you safe in this life until then, when you will encounter a trouble-free life. The message of Psalm 91 is such an encouragement for our present-day journey. I began by telling a story of a little boy who, in the park, I live at Forest Hill, in the park at Forest Hill, in the middle of the summer, he had to run to his mom away from the dog, and the dog had to stop barking at him, and the mom protected him. The mom rescued him from the dog. But I know there's going to come a day as a boy grows up when he's going to recognize that his mom cannot save him from everything. And that's the nature of every form of refuge that we have in this life. All forms of refuge has a limit to which it can save you. It can't save you from everything, but it's not so with God. That's what the psalmist in Psalm 91 is saying. God's refuge is guaranteed. He can and he will protect you. God's refuge is complete through this life and into the next life. So today, the challenge of this psalm is in verse 2. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Do you know God as your refuge? If you don't, the psalm has said it here. He's my God in whom I trust. The only way to know God as your refuge, it's not to hand in a payment at the insurance company and then have a meeting with them, an annual meeting to check in to see how they're doing well with your insurance. The only way to know God as your refuge is trust. Is by putting your trust in him. And the only way that God has made that possible is through Jesus, through his son. Through the cross of Jesus, we are guaranteed victory over Satan, and we're guaranteed a future life. What the Bible in the New Testament calls eternal life. So would you consider putting your trust in God today if you don't know him yet as your refuge? But it's also an application for us who are believers or who are Christians but going through a season of trial or a time of trouble, a challenge of life. It's an encouragement to remind us that God is still a refuge that you can trust. Verse 15 says, when he calls to me, I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. He's a refuge that you can always call on because you know that he will be with you. No matter where you are, he will be with you in trouble. So I'm going to end with a prayer. And if you're comfortable closing your eyes, bowing your head, and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you because of the refuge that you provide for those who trust in you. Thank you that when we come to put our faith in you, we're not hopeless. We're not like sheep without shepherd. But you promise us that you'll always be there. Your refuge, your protection, your safety is guaranteed. You promise us that your refuge is complete, that you will be there in this life and there is hope in the next life. And Father, I pray into a God, current season of life, whatever anyone may be going through, Father, I pray for that reminder and comfort and encouragement that comes from Psalm 91, that it will be strong in the heart of everyone here today. For those who do not know you yet, it will be strong in their hearts. For those who know you, it will be strong in their hearts. A strong reminder that you're the only refuge that can be trusted. In Jesus' name, amen.